Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, pricing has gone up on almost all ticket and key type passes at the resort, a new Ursula Tiki mug at Trader Sam's.
New dining locations have been announced for Downtown Disney. We talk about our Oogie Boogie Bash experience and more. DL Weekly starts now.
This is your captain speaking to you from the wheelhouse. I'd like to welcome all of you aboard the DL Weekly podcast. For safe passage on our trip, please do not sit or climb on the outside railings, and be sure to watch your children. The water can be unpredictable in these parts, and we'd sure hate to lose any of you.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of October 18th, 2023. I'm Teresa Urban.
And I'm Tig Bushman. We'd like to send a thank you to all the current weekly tiers, including Peggy F., Mike M., Bob L., and Priscilla V. for supporting the show. Without your support, DL Weekly would not be possible. Your support ensures that the podcast will continue and we can make it to the parks more often and bring you the latest news and information direct from the parks, like our Oogie Boogie Bash that we will talk about later in the episode. If you'd like to become an official weekly tier yourself, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to sign up.
Well, it's that time again for our friend Eric over at Concierge to catch us up on other Disney news.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Concierge, and welcome to the D180. While Teg and Teresa cover all things Disneyland, in the D180, we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. We start our adventure this week in Walt Disney World, where some of our COVID-era restrictions are close to disappearing. Starting in January of 2024, we can park hop to our heart's content, much like the good old days. Gone will be the restriction of hopping only at 2 p.m. I know there's still a requirement to reserve your initial park for most days, but I can only do so much here. The Disney Company continues to make visiting Walt Disney World easier bit by bit. It's not perfect, but I still consider it a win. Let's head to one of those four parks, Disney's Animal Kingdom. There are plenty of fun places to eat in Animal Kingdom, but Disney is kicking their menus up a few notches. Harambe Market is always a great place to get a bite, but some of these new offerings look pretty amazing. New rice bowls include your choice of chicken, shrimp, or chicken and shrimp. Spiced tomato salad and tzatziki sauce make these dishes something you'll have to taste to believe. New salads and pitas are also available. If you're in the mood for a totally plant-based meal, Disney's chefs have some new options that include impossible proteins with similar spices for your pitas. I don't always eat at Harambe Market, but it's definitely on my list for the next trip. For your breakfast needs, look pretty much anywhere in the park and nab a stuffed pancake sandwich. This new treat features sausage, eggs, cheese, and your choice of with or without some guava. I'd opt for the sweet with the savory myself, but you know, it's up to you. Breakfast tachos, that's tater tot nachos, and more will jazz up your breakfast time. Tamu Tamu refreshments in Harambe will also start selling various Dole Whip treats with and without alcohol. I love a Dole Whip float, but add some hard cider to the mix and I might have a new favorite. But hey, let's head across the world to Hong Kong Disneyland, where the World of Frozen is about to open. Starting November 20th, you can enjoy this brand new land. Check out Frozen Ever After, a boat ride similar to the one in Epcot. The adventurous can also board Wandering Oaken's Sliding Sleighs for a roller coaster trip around the land. Hang on for some nautical delights for dinner at the Golden Crocus Inn and satisfy that sweet tooth at the Northern Delights Chocolate Shop. Grab a quick snack at Carts Around the Land. It's all Frozen themed and there for your enjoyment. There are even multiple locations to meet up with Anna and Elsa around this Arendelle land. Pick up a few souvenirs, say yoo-hoo to Oaken, have a great meal, and ride some fun attractions. This new land in Hong Kong's Disneyland is sure to delight. And that's 180 seconds. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you would like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. visit the social media and websites of both DL Weekly and us, their official travel planners, Concierge. We look forward to planning something special for you and yours. I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Thanks, Eric.
Now let's get to the Disneyland news.
As is typical for this time of year, the pricing at Disneyland has gone up again. One-day, one-park tickets have gone up between $5 to $15, and multi-day tickets have gone up between $25 and $65, with park-hopping add-ons increasing for 2 to 5 day tickets from $65 to $75, so a $10 difference. Genie Plus also saw a price increase starting at $30, so this is a $5 per day increase. Parking rates have also increased $5 across the board. Magic key holders were not spared, with the Imagine and Inspire keys going up $50 each and the Enchant and Believe levels going up $150 each.
Oh my goodness. Oof. So, you know what I keep thinking about? There was an interview with Bob Iger that talked about that maybe they've gotten too expensive with the tickets, et cetera, et cetera. But apparently he has forgotten that, or it's not a priority for them anymore, or what?
It's just basic economics, right? It's supply and demand. You only have a limited supply of how many magic keys are offered or how many people can have tickets every day versus what the demand is. The demand for Disney parks has not dwindled, even though the offerings, let's be real, the offerings have been scaled back. Not all entertainment is back. Just look at Disneyland, for example. There's nothing at the Hyperion Theater going on right now. We have no word on what's going to happen with Fantasmic. Yes, we do have some really fun, really great kind of temporary shows going on the Rivers of America, but like, it's not the same level as what Fantasmic was. There's still holes and stuff.
Magic Happens has just ended.
Yeah, so there's technically no parade for regular guests, only a parade for Oogie Boogie Bash guests. So there's still a lot of gaps, and ride maintenance is not up to the standard that it used to have. There's a lot of things noticeable on, maybe not for people that are first timers that have never gone, because you can't look and see at everything in each attraction. If it's your first time, you know, your first time riding through, you don't notice absolutely everything. But for people that have gone on a couple of times, you may have noticed more things that used to work that aren't working, or perhaps lighting isn't as good, or, you know, whatever. But the standard's just not as high. So it's, what's interesting to me, again, I'm not surprised. Am I saddened by the increases? Yes, of course. But Disney is a business, so I'm not surprised that the increases happened, because, like I said, their supply and demand issue has been out of whack for a while. The demand is just super, super high. But the thing that's really disheartening for me is just Disney is noticing that the demand is high at the current levels, so it doesn't always necessarily feel like the TLC is necessarily as high of a priority for them, which, if we're paying top dollar, you know, we have certain expectations for maintenance levels and for entertainment offerings and that sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, we're paying more now than we ever have, and we're not getting as much as we used to get. You know, I think back to when I had my first annual pass way back in the early 2000s, and it was $250 a year, which gave me free parking and a bunch of discounts and everything, and I had no blockout dates for $250 a year. Yeah. And at that time, we had a daytime parade and a nighttime parade, and we had a fireworks show, and we had Fantasmic, and we had Disney California Adventure, and we had a parade over there, and we had, at the time, there was some fireworks over there for a little while, and then eventually we got World of Color. But it just seemed like, you know, obviously there's certain things as a business that cost more. Labor prices have gone up, cost of goods sold, so material costs for things like upkeep, material costs for things like food in the restaurants and all that. All of those things have gotten more expensive, and all of us have felt that. And so obviously it has to be paid out of somewhere. However, I don't know, it just seems like a lot, and it's way above the inflation price. And so I don't know. And the other thing that always gets me, something that I always struggle with, is I always look at like their parking, right? So parking, if you want to park your car for one day, one car in one of the parking structures, it's $35 a day. Now, I used to park there when it was like $15 a day, but then it was also part of my pass. And I thought when it got to 20, I'm like, well, certainly nobody's going to charge more than $20 a day to park my car. Well, no, now it's 30. It's almost double.
Yeah.
You know, even things like hotel guest self-park is $40 a day. I'm like, you pay how many hundreds of dollars a night to stay at these things? And now, well, anyway, whatever. Yeah. There's just, it's just a lot. And for one day, can you, I mean, it's a great value. Okay, so if I try to be fair, if you go see something like a Broadway show, you could pay a couple hundred dollars a ticket to have, what, 3 hours of entertainment?
Yeah.
And technically, you're getting an entire day's worth of all different types of entertainment. And we've commented on the show numerous times how some of the shows, entertainment that we get at Disneyland is Broadway caliber and stuff. So is even the tier 6 1 day one park ticket of $194, is that still a good deal?
It depends on maybe you as a person. Yeah.
I just think that it's a what happens and what makes it difficult is it's a family, it's generally billed as like a family place to go. And so it's not just the price of one person or two people. It's the price of like parents and children. Mm-hmm. And so you get, you know, three or four tickets, and that's very expensive. And then you add food, parking, hotel stay. Mm-hmm. It just becomes really not reachable for a lot of people.
It adds up fast. Do you want to know something crazy? So you had your first ever annual pass was, do you remember the year?
2001, 2002, somewhere there.
So my first annual pass was the fall of 2019.
Okay.
And now we're in the fall of 2023. So it's what, four years, right?
Sure.
My first pass was the Flex Passport. Do you want to know how much my Flex Passport was? Hmm. It was $599. Do you want to know what our current level, which we currently have the Believe key? It is now, thankfully, our time came up, so we got the quote-unquote old price, but now our pass is $1,249. So in 4 years, it doubled. Mm-hmm. More than doubled.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Like, that's not even that long of a time. Like, you know what I mean? That 4 years is not that long, but yeah. Now, granted, the Believe Pass, I will you can argue, and I argue as well, is a quote-unquote higher tier pass than what the Flex Pass was. But, man, I love that Flex Passport. That thing was great. That was the foreshadowing, if you will, of park reservations, because you had quote-unquote good-to-go days, and then you also had days that you had to make reservations for because they were kind of more high-demand days. But it worked super great for me. I really liked that pass. Hopefully, we'll get back to a day at some point that we can go back to that kind of style of pass again, where there's quote unquote good to go days that you don't need a reservation, and then maybe higher demand days that you do need the reservation. But yeah, that's crazy, isn't it?
Well, the other thing that you can put, so $1,249, what we were just talking about, the Believe key pass, the new current price. You know, if you take the lowest tier zero, which is like almost no days,
and that's 1 day, 104, one park.
1 day, one park. If you go 12 days in a year, the Believe key makes more sense. At that lowest price.
Yep.
But you got to remember, too, you're adding park hopping. And so, let's see, $1,249. I'm just doing some math here. If we what's our average trip? Three days?
I would say 3 days.
Okay.
Park hopper.
So, $390 for, park hopper. Well, that's just some extra money. 70. So, if I just do whatever. So, if we go about 3.5 trips, it pays for itself.
Yeah, so that's nine days in that sense. But yeah.
So, I mean, it's still a fairly good deal. It'd be a better deal if we lived closer.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I just think it's wild how my short little time as a pass holder
It
has already doubled.
And I miss the days of the Flex Pass because I liked that. Same thing you're talking about, the good-to-go days and all of that.
Everyone thought, and I was a little nervous about it too, like, well, what if I can't get a reservation and everybody else has their tickets and they're in the park and I'm just going to be stuck in downtown Disney because that's the closest. Never did that happen for me. And yeah, it wasn't as big of a, it worked out perfectly because we planned ahead because of course we're coming from the Midwest. It's not like we just live down the street from Disneyland and just like, oh, hey, I want to go to the parks this weekend. You know, so I can get, if that's your style and your way of doing the parks, I could see how it was a little like, ooh, I don't know about that. But it worked super great for our needs.
It's just going to keep going up. I don't think there'll ever be a day that the tickets get cheaper.
Well, like I said, supply and demand. So if the demand for people going and visiting Disney parks goes down, then we may see the prices go down. But I,
this is why they need to build more Disney parks elsewhere.
And Disneyland Forward will help with this too, because you're also going to
add quote capacity.
Unquote widen your supply because you're going to add capacity so more people can be in the parks, which would then also help with things like how busy it feels and lines and all those other fun things that come along with Disney park days.
Absolutely. You know, but one thing they didn't raise the price of enough was Genie Plus. You know, they did raise it, but I feel like it'd be nice to raise that up to like the $100 plus, because I think that would alleviate some of that. But anyway, well, if you are listening to this episode right as it's released on Wednesday, you may have the chance to get your hands on the latest Trader Sam's Tiki Mug, but I'm guessing by this point it's probably sold out. This time the theme is Ursula. This Tiki Mug is only available on Wednesday, October 18th at Trader Sam's. The mug design is that of Ursula's Cauldron and has that same purple color that she's known for.
I'm trying to find this. Have you seen what it looks like?
Yeah.
No. Like, more so than just, like, that photo, like, the Disney photo where it's on a set and kind of stylized. Like, have you seen one of the...
I saw one sitting somewhere online today. I saw just sitting there.
Yeah, so...
It still looks cool.
It looks like people that had done one of the mixology classes were either... I don't know if they were able to purchase these ahead of time or if this was part of the mixology class as kind of like a gift, but our friend the Disneyland nurse was in the parks for the 100th anniversary yesterday, Monday, and someone he knew had done the mixology class, and so they were showing off their mug on their Instagram page, and it's almost like I don't know, it's bigger, it's not a mug, it's bigger than a goblet, it's almost
like a bowl.
Yeah, this thing is not messing around. It would hold a very, very large beverage.
Did you say this was on Disneyland Nurse's website? Yep.
Yeah, he had shared it on his stories, and it's not there, but it looked... I don't know. You see, same thing I feel like with D23, the Mickey statue. You see photos of these things and your brain makes an image of what you assume the size of this is.
Yeah.
And then when you see it sometimes in reality, you're just like, whoa, this is kind of another one to me. This was much larger than I was expecting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to tell from their like photos and stuff what this is going to be. I like the color of it a lot, but it's one of those things. It's going to go on sale for mobile order in the morning. It starts early at 6 a.m. Once you ordered it, you have a pickup window that they'll assign you between 7 a.m. and 3 p.m. And there's a limit of 2 per person. So it's just one of those things that it's just going to be very difficult to get a hold of, like these tiki mugs normally are.
Mm-hmm. Well, the new area of downtown Disney, which is currently under construction, is going to host some new eateries and has a name. Parkside Market will house 4 new locations for guests to dine while at the resort. Soul Sister will be a fast casual restaurant serving Korean rice bowls with a California twist. Yum. Sip and Sonder will serve lattes. We need more of those. As well as fresh treats, frozen drinks, and Caribbean-inspired bites. Gigi's Chicken Shop will serve a family-friendly menu of chicken sandwiches, salads, and classic dinner table sides. Finally, a second-story bar will serve craft cocktails and mocktails.
I love the fact that they have this little section on the side that's the parks, they call it the Parkside Market. The other thing that's interesting is they say that the grass, which we'll cover probably in a little bit here, but the area in front of this that has a stage and stuff is supposed to open this year. And I'm like, it's already October. There's only a couple months later. I know we're going to talk about it. I'm just surprised. That's all. Because they also mentioned it in here that it's going to open. But do you think this is going to be, I feel like it's not going to be a bunch of like different storefronts of these restaurants. I feel like it might almost be more of a, not a cafeteria, but kind of like a food court.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I think that these are going to be more like quick service things would be in the park. So it's someplace you go and you like pick up your order or order at the counter and then take it somewhere else to leave. I don't think there's going to be each place will have its own separate dining area. From what again, this is just our assumptions from what we see in the concept art.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the thing that's interesting to me about this whole project, which
just says under one roof, so it has to be something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the thing that's interesting to me that about this entire project is this took a lot of planning and development, but now with Disneyland Forward and what those plans are, this area could be more, this sounds terrible, but temporary. Because if Disneyland Forward gets approved, I think these things will be redone.
If you look at the map, this is still on.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The area where they're going to connect those things is further. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that area now right by the Wizard's Hat and where that road kind of connects, that's going to be the connection between from looking at the design.
Oh, okay.
So ESPN zone, the old ESPN zone, like part of that's going to be. Yeah. So it's across from that, but not. I remember looking at it thinking the same thing you just said, and the boxes that represent these buildings are still there.
Sure.
Plus, you're not going to tear down like Din Tai Fung that they're building. You know, it just seems weird.
That's what I wasn't understanding. I'm like, this feels permanent, but also not. So the thing that, I mean, and maybe I need to take a couple steps back, but the thing that just makes me a little sad is this is kind of, I hope the immersion's there. We'll put it that way. I hope this area doesn't feel like an extension of what happened to Jazz Kitchen, how it was super well themed and like how this really fun and great story, and then they kind of strip that theming back. It feels to me like
I take back what I said, by the way.
Oh, okay.
In this concept art, it does look like they've done something with it, so I don't know.
Gotcha. So this may kind of just be a bridge between now and Disneyland Forward. So that would also make sense why maybe this area is not going to be super overly themed, because it's not. The plan is not for it to be there for a long period. The whole thing's just really interesting, especially we were really excited about this project and the concept art when they first released it. But now, like I said, I'm just kind of a little confused by it because of Disneyland Forward. Now, of course, if Disneyland Forward gets approved and all lights are green and go ahead forward, clearly it's going to take time for them to do all of the different things that they want to do with the Disneyland Forward project. So when I say this is temporary, it's not like, oh, it's just a couple months that these things are going to be here. No, it's more like a couple of years that this will be this way before it's then transformed into its next, whatever it will be used for space, I think. Yeah. Anyways, I'm just curious because I'm trying really hard to hold my thoughts and judgments until we actually see the space, because it's hard to really know what it is that they're doing.
Yeah.
I just hope that it doesn't feel bland or generic, I guess would be a good way of saying it.
I'm trying to find, I don't know why we always have these things linked and I feel like I can always look at these things, but I'm trying to find this map again, because now that we're talking about this, I really want to find it. Because what was it? It was like the noise. Here we go. So I just want to see.
Oh, that's right. The map that had the noise.
Which has all the like potential. Yeah. So this is where Downtown Disney comes in.
But
Downtown Disney comes in like it does now.
Yeah, and that's would when be, it goes over Disney.
Yeah.
Drive.
So it would be gone.
Yeah. It would be gone. In fact, there's a family ride indoor kind of in that space that they're proposing.
Huh. You know, I didn't even. Wow. Well, that's really interesting
isn't that?
But again, any type of concept art could totally change.
When we first started this podcast, we were all about the Eastern Gateway Project and how amazing the Eastern Gateway, which it would have been. It would have been.
And then we talked about the new hotel.
And then that didn't happen. And then, yes, then there was the new hotel, which is why they kind of tore this area of Downtown Disney down the first time. And
AMC,
kind of
kicked,
yeah, that's why
ESPN.
All the tenants got asked evicted. to leave was because a new hotel that was going to go in that space, and then that didn't happen. So, you know, you just never know.
It's true.
Right now, with the new project, this change of Downtown Disney could be more temporary. Sounds bad because that sounds like a month or
like
a band aid.
Yeah,
but it's temporary, as in it'll be a couple of years at least.
Yeah. Well, a couple of new design elements have been added to the new Downtown Disney expansion area that we were just talking about. The stage is a unique mid-century modern design, and a new sculptural tower crafted by Nicholas Smith, honoring the contributions of the mid-20th century architects of color in Southern California. This area should debut later this year. This looks cool.
It does. It looks fun. The other thing, too, that I realized we kind of went off on a separate tangent when we were supposed to be talking about the food that's coming here.
Yeah.
I'm excited. The food sounds wonderful. I'm excited to try these things out. I do really hope that these are more, if they're going to be kind of a quick service type style eatery. I hope the prices reflect that too. So I hope it's not quick service, but it's like, here's your,
it's like Earl of Sandwich,
$35 chicken sandwich. Yeah, kind of more like Earl of Sandwich level, where it's great quality but still a good price.
What do you think of this stage in this tower thing?
I think it looks fun. I think it looks super fun. If I was local, I would totally just hang out down here.
I mean, I feel like that's the case all the time.
The thing I have always really liked about the new concept is that the stage is getting its own area. Because right now, where the stage in Downtown Disney is, it's kind of just plopped in the middle of a walkway. So it's hard to either try and move around the stage or to have a group kind of gather to sit there and enjoy the performers. It's more of like, I don't want to say walk by enjoyment, but you know, a lot of people don't feel like they can stop and listen and enjoy. Whereas this is off the main thing. It's kind of in its own dedicated space, so people can dance or they can sit and enjoy their meal food, while they're sitting and enjoying whatever the entertainment is. There's a lot of really great entertainment offerings that happen in Downtown Disney that I think a lot of people either don't realize or don't feel like they can stick around long enough to really watch the full performance. Whatever the reason, I'm hoping this is going to kind of highlight the entertainment much better so that these performers can get way more love and attention from guests as they deserve.
So something I was talking about a minute ago, I still can't believe. So this is like from a few days ago. There's a picture. We have this linked in our show notes from Mice Chat of the kind of area. And then boom.
Yeah.
Grass is already there. Trees are there. It's only a matter of time before they just bring this wall basically here.
It's coming along.
It looks amazing. That's something that I think Downtown Disney really needed was more greenery.
Yeah.
Like, it does have some, but this looks really nice. But by the way, one of the comments on there was talking about how this is that same artificial turf. So they're like, I hope they've learned from Toontown and it's not going to be the same problem.
I'm sure there were a lot of lessons to be learned because it was just, it was something new, right? Because Disney didn't have a large green astroturf space before that a lot of people would be walking around and playing on and doing all that kind of stuff. So yeah, definitely a learning curve. So I'm sure
the tower's shown up there. What do you think?
The tower looks fun. The tower looks really fun.
I really
like the mid-century modern.
Blending this with the new tower. Now, do you think they're going to do anything with the Disneyland Hotel to kind of massage it to match a little better?
Yeah, I don't know. I think everything's just a little weird up in the air right now because of the Disneyland Forward project, honestly. But I'm curious to see.
I wish they just settle on what they want to do. Like, I know it's hard because they're trying to get through all this approval. Mm-hmm. But once they get that approval stuff done, I feel like it'll be nice for things to finally settle and actually then, like, move forward.
Yes, and for them to, like, really develop the storyboarded ideas and, you know, really, I think it'll be really,
looking forward
really
to it.
Exciting.
It's a really exciting time.
Well, just this last week, we had talked about the new cute little animatronics that Imagineering was working on and had debuted somewhere. Well, days after we reported on that, they were spotted in the parks delighting guests. Guests were able to catch these new characters roaming around in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. And they were being, it sounded like it was some sort of testing that Imagineering was doing with these cute little droids. What makes them so interesting was that there were multiples. There were three of them walking around at the same time. They move in a very animated, very playful way. And remind us of the ducklings that you can see walking around the resort in spring. The other thing too,
they're so
speaking
adorable.
Of how they reminded me us of ducklings walking around and being playful and cute. Did you notice the colors of the three droids?
I heard something about this, but I didn't pay attention.
It's not quite, but they, and how they walked in a row and how it was this little trio. I was getting Huey, Dewey, and Louie, Donald's nephew vibes. I don't know if that was intentional or not. The coloring wasn't spot on, but it was very, very close. It is so fun.
I just thought it was so cool that I had just kind of offhand on last week's episode said that they look like they could be the droid from Jedi Survivor or Jedi Fallen Order, the video game, that kind of BD droid or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And boom, here we go. It's basically droids in Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
And it's just so stinking cute. And so I hope that they have these out more because, maybe not out, but testing. I hope they continue to test these in the park. Let's just say that because
I hope they become a permanent part of
that
Galaxy.
That too. I would love to see these little things walk around. This is the promise of Galaxy's Edge coming true. It's so nice.
Yeah. So I wanted to go back to the Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Yeah.
So the three droids were a green a blue and like a, it looked like an orange color, maybe like a burnt orange color. Well, Huey, Dewey, and Louie, their outfits are green and blue, but it's red instead of like the burnt orange. So, but I, so again, I don't know if that was intentional and they just, you know, if it was kind of like a hidden,
maybe it was three primary colors,
a hidden thing.
Sure.
Or if it just so happened, but I thought it was adorable.
Well, speaking of things that we talked about in a previous episode, as we spoke about in our last episode, there is a lot going on over at the Pixar Place Hotel. Mm-hmm. A lot of construction is happening on the exterior of the building and around the grounds. I saw some photos that, like, there's entire sections of glass windows missing and stuff. Inside, there are still areas that have curtains around them to mask some of the continuing work.
Yeah, so we, I think I speak for both of us when I say when we did our little walkthrough and self-guided tour of the new space, I was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was very fun and very cute. It was a little weird because there was not very many guests in there when we went, because we kind of went mid-morning, so I'm sure a lot of people had already made their way to the parks. But I just, the details I thought were really fun. The colors were great. I thought how they blended things in, that like Pixar was just all over the place, but it wasn't, I thought it was done tastefully. So it wasn't just like Luxo balls plastered everywhere. You know what I mean? I think it was done really, really nicely. So I was a little saddened when I'm seeing some of the reviews online that are like, oh, it's so cold and sterile. See, because I didn't get that feeling or that vibe when we were in there. I mean, maybe you could say that because there's nobody in there.
Sure.
But I thought it was really fun and playful. A lot of the backdrop is kind of grays and whites and blacks, but I think that's so that all of the different color accents pop that much more. But anyways, what did you think of the space?
I thought it was cool. I can definitely see that it's not as whimsical, maybe is the great word, that a lot of the just bare elements, if you don't take into account the color, you don't take into account any of that other stuff, like, this looks like other hotels.
Sure, sure.
And so I can see that people are thinking, we want to stay at a Disney hotel that is, you know, you go in the Grand Californian. It is rare to walk into any hotel and have that level of theming in a big lobby and all of that stuff, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. The Disneyland Hotel, you go in and there's all these little Disney touches. There's models of things. There's a bunch of Walt things on this. So there's a lot of that. There's a lot of the Pixar stuff in here, too. Like, I'm not discounting that at all. But some of the other things, the stuff, the fixtures they chose, the things on the roof, the kind of gray and whatever on the ground. Now, if you look closely, there's characters and stuff. We talked about this last week on the floor, which makes it whimsical in that way. But I guess it just feels like it's more of a blending of a regular kind of fancier hotel with Disney. And it's not just 100% whimsical like Disney tends to go for with really immersive, highly themed areas. And I'm not saying this isn't highly themed because there's tons of stuff in here that's themed. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of more of a blending or a mixture of that. At least that's kind of the vibe I got off of it. But I think, like you said, once this space is done and there's more people around, it's going to feel better.
Yeah.
Just when we went in, there wasn't a lot going on.
It was like we have this place to ourselves.
But also, it is kind of separate. Like, it's not, you know, the Grand Californian and the Disneyland Hotel are both places that people end up in for one reason or another. So there are just a lot of people around where you kind of, you're not going through this to get to something else like you are those other.
Well, and even just things like the pool is on the roof here.
Right.
So there's not even, you know, kind of like the hustle and bustle of guests enjoying the pool space as you're either, you know, that you can see from ground level as you're walking up to the property.
Did you see this when we were there?
We did. Remember, I wanted to walk down that way and we weren't sure where it went. But I thought, they've got these really colorful, like, patchwork pavement with Luxo ball lamps going down to kind of take you to one. This kind of the, I'll call it like the back entrance because it's the entrance that connects to the parking garage. We went around the front to the big main entrance. Front entrance there. But I think it's really fun. The one thing that I am a little disappointed about is I wish for the restaurant space they wouldn't have gone with something that existed. I wish it would have been a Disney-themed restaurant.
Sure.
Because you've got Goofy's Kitchen at
Disneyland Hotel.
The Disneyland Hotel. You've got Storyteller's Cafe in the Grand California. You have Disney eateries. And then you also have things that while they aren't like over the top Disney, they're still Disney owned, sure. Disney operated restaurants and quick service things. So it feels a little strange to me that Great Maple's coming in and is kind of just attached to the hotel, because there's no, from the concept art and from what you can see from the exterior of the work that they're doing now, there's nothing about Great Maple that ties it into the Pixar theming. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of its own separate thing. So I'm a little disappointed about that, because you could have had a Ratatouille. I mean, come on, there's so many food tie-ins with different Pixar things. Ratatouille, you could have had a sushi place like Harryhausen's from Monsters, Inc.
That's a miss, because I think people...
Harryhausen's
would love to
fun.
Have a nice sushi we place. Have,
and they've done Ratatouille-style restaurants sure. before in Disney parks. So that's not a brand new... So that could have been an easy thing for them, but I feel like they missed an opportunity.
Or, I know Disneyland doesn't like to duplicate things, but Lamplight is so popular, they could have just duplicated that mm-hmm. same type of experience right here.
Yeah.
Ah, you're right.
I think that was
I
a
love
miss.
This staircase, though, by the way. I
the
love purple.
The Soul staircase yeah. was incredible in person. It's so really cool. well done.
Yeah.
The lighting was great. The fact that there's a little nook with the piano and they've got a mural of, like, the band accompanying the piano right there. Oh.
Yeah. Love it.
Links in the show notes for photos. Not the ones that we took, but photos that other people had taken of the new space.
DL Weekly announces the boarding of the Trivia Express, nonstop star speeder service to the moon of Endor. All passengers, please prepare for immediate boarding.
Hello, it's trivia time, and welcome to Trivia Land. How are you two doing this fine, whatever time of day listener is listening?
Good. Teresa, good.
We'll see. Trivia Land's the...
Like why do the... we... keep getting tickets to this land.
The wild, wild west.
We should just go to a different land.
Yeah, I'm a little upset because this week Teg was telling me he was happy that I was doing trivia because I'm easier than producer Vern.
I do think you're easier on us than Vern is.
Why did you say that?
Usually true.
Oh, gosh.
Uh-huh.
He's like, I'm going to prove you wrong.
You did. This is your fault. I don't blame James at all.
I like to think I'm giving you a fair shot at some of these. But
you like to think you are.
You know, you surprise me with the things that you know on occasion. Okay. So we'll see how you do.
Okay.
And I'm going to apologize for any pronunciation on this first one. Question number one. What attraction in the resort would the hint Usu Mate direct someone towards? Usu Mate. Well, I hear the brain gears turning, but we're not really getting anywhere right now.
The hamster wheel is a spinning, but the hamster isn't. In the wheel at the moment. Could you give us a hint?
Sure. Usu Mate is a reference to something that was transformed by Ahale.
Oh. I'm going to say it's a tiki room.
Sure. I will jump on that bandwagon.
Hitching the carriage to that horse. We'll ride it forward.
Why are you looking judgmental at me?
Because I had a wonderful guess all on my own.
It doesn't take away, like, we don't share the points. Like, no, I don't, but... like, it's not like we cut the point in half.
Gosh, maybe we need to revise rules, and whoever gives the answer first gets, like, a half point bonus or something. If you,
I mean, you know, James.
It was your choice to have the points tag.
So one of the things that one of the other podcasts I listen to does is they have, like, a ridiculous amount of rules for things. And it's ridiculous, but you could do something like that.
Can we throw out the discussion topic and draft rules this week in Trivia Land?
No.
We're going to keep pestering for this.
If anybody's curious, go look up. There's a podcast called Connected, and they do their... Well, actually, there's a couple podcasts. There's also Upgrade. And they do these bets, basically, on predicting Apple events or whatever, and they have this long list of how they can pick things and how picks are scored and all of this stuff. And they get ridiculous. And they get ridiculous.
Ridiculous is Trivia Land, so...
I mean, that's true. Maybe you and Vern could draft some things, but...
Maybe.
Suddenly, Trivia Land becomes an entire half an hour section of the show because of all of this.
I mean, it is, like, the best section of the show, so...
I would not disagree that some people probably think that.
Yes, but we're not ready for the half hour section, so I'm going to move us along to question two.
Okay.
And for this, I want to know, what is the name of Hondo Onaka's transport company, which obviously is prominently featured in the Q and storyline of Smuggler's Run?
Osaka. Oh wait, Honda Onaka. Onaka Transport Solutions.
Oh,
are you going to hitch yourself to my lovely transport on that one, Teresa?
Yes.
That was my poor Honda Onaka voice.
Oh, we should get that one in the accent so game eventually.
Onaka
Transport Solutions. Welcome, my friends, to Onaka Transport Solutions.
You know what I'm regretting?
Starting what? A podcast with me?
Ah, 6 years later.
No, when we were at Disneyland last time, I confessed to Tag, because he's like, oh, we should go ride Smuggler's Run.
Because it had a low wait.
Because it had a low wait time. And I was like, it's maybe an unpopular opinion, but I could take or leave.
Oh my gosh. It,
and we didn't. What did we do? Oh, we hid pins and we noticed that there was a speeder bike that's now in Galaxy's Edge.
It was parked at least
over
new
by
to us.
Yeah, it was new to us at least. Parked over by the droid depot, and then we got distracted and did something else. If I would have gone on the attraction like you had requested, I probably would have been known able to recall Onaka that a little faster.
Okay.
That's like top five attraction.
I think to me, it's the most fun when it's you, like your party is the craft. I don't find it as fun without when you're there with strangers necessarily. Nothing against strangers, but it's just such a fun bonding thing to do with a group of people that you're on a trip with.
Yeah. And I get the call from people too that like if you're not a pilot, it's not as fun because sure. You have to look at your buttons, so you're missing what's happening on the screen, which is the big part of the attraction.
It is different, yep.
So, I like pushing the buttons. So, anyway, question 3. What is the name of the skipper leading the expedition that's being run up a pole?
Oh, Skipper... Oh,
Felix?
Felix. Yep, Skipper Felix. And it's his first day.
Do you know Skipper Felix's last name?
Oh.
Isn't it Felix?
Felix, Felix?
I don't know.
Felix, Felix.
I don't think I've noticed a last name.
Oh, not requiring it for the
I
point.
I was like half a point.
Just curious. His last name is in parentheses on my score sheet. So, all right. Last question this week. Is it true or false? Since you know how much I love the obviously not true conspiracy theory about Walt Disney being cryogenically frozen behind an attraction in the park. Do you know true or false? The first person known to be cryogenically frozen or suspended happened before Walt died. Was it even a possibility?
It's a 50-50 chance.
I'm going to say false.
I'm going to say true. Seems like a 1950s kind of thing.
1950s? When Walt died?
He died in the 60s. I'm saying that.
Oh,
I'm saying
that they came up with it in the
50s. They came up with it in the 50s, okay, so that it would be before he would have passed.
Just had to clarify that one to be sure. So,
yeah.
Yep, that makes sense. All right, that's it. Those are my 4 questions. Did I live up to my promise of being more difficult? Well, we'll find out. But first, we got to talk about some things.
Oogie Boogie Bash.
This week, we are going to talk with you about our most recent experience at Oogie Boogie Bash. So, of course, we attended the party on Sunday, October 8th, and it was fantastic as always. We're becoming pros. We are coming Oogie Boogie Bash professionals. We shared this on our social media, but we somehow ended up with extra time at the end of the night and surprised ourselves with that and had about an hour of time, if not maybe a little more, that we were like, ooh, we can go redo things or go focus on things that maybe aren't party specific that we hadn't had a chance to go do and check out. So we really nailed it.
We still didn't ride any attractions like some people do during Oogie Boogie time.
We could have.
I did pitch to you maybe going over to Radiator Springs, but we decided.
Then we got distracted.
Yeah, we got distracted.
Because I think we were making our way over there and then we just got distracted by all the amazing Halloween decor.
So before the party, I'd like to start before the party, we went over. First of all, Teresa, do you want to talk about your outfit? Let's talk about your outfit first. What was your Oogie Boogie Bash outfit?
So I, no one judge, threw together, it was the Saturday before we were leaving and we left on a Thursday. So on Saturday, I thought, oh, you know, I think it'd be fun to do some sort of, maybe not costume, but some sort of fun outfit. So I quickly and last minute pieced together and was able to purchase items to make this. I purchase items to pull this together. I also made my own headband, but I pulled together basically a Disney bound, a little bit more cost, like leaning more into the costume side of a Disney bound, but in essence, a Disney bound of
which
one
looked
of,
amazing, by the way.
Of your one thank
idea
you.
Of throwing something together is like. Oh, this old thing? No. It looked great.
It worked out perfectly. I lucked out that the dress that I ordered online happened to fit correctly, and I just lucked out that everything
and you had cool
all
leggings.
Signs were pointing towards this needs to happen for you, Teresa. So anyway, so I had a loose costume or a very strong Disney bound of one of the cast members of the Haunted Mansion. So I was dressed as one of the cast member maids from the Haunted Mansion.
So it was a green and white striped dress.
Green and black striped dress.
Green and black, that's what I meant.
Yeah, it was a green and black striped dress. I had spiderweb leggings.
Which were super cool, by the way.
They were fun. They were really comfortable, too. And then for my hair piece, I made a headband that had black and white lace, and then I found a little bat to put in the middle of the headband.
And Teresa, how would you describe my Halloween costume?
In your backpack?
Yeah.
You did bring it to the parks. I will give you that credit.
I last year, or sometime this year.
Earlier this year.
I purchased, because it was on sale at ShopDisney.com, this Haunted Mansion, like,
it was
sport
the wallpaper.
Coat. Yeah, it's the wallpaper sport coat. When I received...
And it was supposed to glow in the dark.
Yeah. When I received this, I just want to give you guys an idea here. When I received this, it is made of a material that's not that comfortable. And what I mean by that is, like, it's not that it feels bad. It's just that, like, it holds in a lot of heat, and it was warm when we were there for Oogie Boogie Bash. And it's just not the most comfortable thing to move around in. And the sleeves are a little long for me. But unfortunately, with Disney sizes, you kind of, it's not like a regular suit jacket where you can get different arm lengths and all of that. And I didn't get it tailored or anything, but I took it. It was warm. We did take a set of pictures with it, and then I promptly put it back in my bag because I was like, yeah, this isn't happening. But I also did not wear anything else other than that. I had just a Disneyland shirt. I had my jeans. I was going for comfort. I felt somewhat ridiculous with Teresa, who was completely decked out for it, which I thought was really cool. But it just made me feel like, man, I should have put at least some effort into it.
You know, if it would have been cooler out... Your plan would have worked.
Yeah, it would have been better.
It was just
but who would have
abnormally
thought?
Warm that October weekend that we went.
So before we went to the party, we went to the Grand Californian, and we saw the Coco display that was over there.
Oh my God. This thing, I could do an entire discussion topic on this display. This display was incredible.
It's better than the Oogie Boogie ones.
Oh, it's... No offense to any previous things that they have put and created in this space, but yeah, the last 2 years, it was the last two Halloween time seasons was Oogie Boogie, which was fun. It was in theme, really well done. But this was a whole nother level. It was Miguel and Dante on the Marigold Bridge, which yes, it was all these like individually made little marigolds that created this bridge that spanned the entire width of the display. And if that weren't impressive enough, the Land of the Dead was behind them. And if you've seen the film, you know how fun and whimsical and colorful that is. Trying to find the hidden Mickeys that they had on this display
was
it almost felt impossible at times.
You left out an important thing.
God.
It was also lit up.
Yes, and it's lit up. The little rooms have little lights in them, and there's like little like twinkly fairy. Oh, it was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
It was amazing. So we found they had these really floral.
Oh, very fragrant.
Fragrant. That's what I was beautiful. Looking for.
It was this large floral display that was in the middle of the Grand Californian. Very fragrant and very, very beautiful. But, oh, man, that display was just... If I had to be the person to take that, I would cry. If I had to be the person to, like, take it down, I would cry because it is just that well done. Did you look at the guitar? They even had made, like, they had these tiny little guitar strings that they had made. Mm-hmm. You'd think that, oh, they could just use, I don't know, fishing line or something. But no, they didn't. It looked like it was something made because it was actually kind of relaxing a little bit.
Yep.
So, oh man, it was just amazing.
All right. So pro tip for Oogie Boogie Bash is mix-in time starts at
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
Yep. So make sure you're lining up early. It has gotten out that they do allow people to go into the Grand Californian entrance. So that's not as good of a tip anymore because a lot of people have learned that tip. So that line was maybe not necessarily shorter than what the front gates were.
Also, tip, if you are a regular day guest and you come across the long line of people trying to get an Oogie Boogie Bash, you can walk to the front of the line and they will let you into the park if you are not attending the party. So that was something that I think some people got in line and they didn't need to.
Yeah, if you were attending the party but also had a park reservation,
you could also go
you
in.
Would be able to quote-unquote skip the line.
So pro tip is get in at 3 o'clock. Try to get a dining reservation around that kind of time before the party
starts.
Or
at least just plan to eat during that time before the party starts.
So Teresa and I did, for the second time, we did the dining to also get the parade viewing at the Wine Country Trattoria. Mm-hmm. And they had a pretty good menu of stuff. It's a prefix menu.
Yeah, they switched the menu up this year. I will say it was more expensive than the years that we had done it previously. But the food was also more elevated, if that makes sense. So the steak that was on there was a much better cut of steak.
What did they say it was?
They said it was a ribeye. I don't think it was a filet. Yeah. I really don't think it was a ribeye.
A lot of fat on it at all.
No,
it tasted more like a
tender.
Filet. Very good. So we got the steak, obviously. They had a Italian wedding soup that I thought was fantastic, which is weird because it was hot out, but I got the soup anyway. Teresa got the salad. What was the deal with the salad?
The salad was really interesting. So it was just called the house salad, but it had like a sweet dressing on it. There was also this like bright pink schmear on the side of the plate.
We couldn't quite figure out what it was.
It didn't like it kind of, I thought it was maybe like a whipped butter. It wasn't butter. It was good. They had carrots in the salad, but they were like carrot ribbons instead of like carrot shavings. There was onions. There was roasted garlic in it. Tomatoes, of course. Very good. Very, very good.
The steak had, Teresa didn't get it because she's allergic to mushrooms, but it had a mushroom sauce on it that I thought was really good.
Yeah, so the supposed ribeye steak, however, this was the most
filet-like,
the fanciest ribeye I had ever had. It said that it had ribeye with mascarpone, roasted garlic, mashed potatoes, glazed baby carrots, and a mushroom demi sauce was what we had. I, of course, ordered it without the sauce. Tay got the sauce.
It was good.
Very good.
We also, the person next to us got the salmon, and I didn't order the salmon because usually the portion sizes could be a little smaller, but actually this looked like a really good portion size of salmon, so I don't think there's a wrong option.
Yeah, and the other thing that we kind of discredited when we were looking at the menu, that we're like, I don't know if we want to spend our high-priced dining package to get this, but man, the chicken parmesan also looked like quite
it was
the
huge
winner.
Yeah, it looked good.
Yeah, it was a very generous portion. But if you're wondering, the Oogie Boogie Bash prefixed dining package, whatever you want to call it, was $62 per person. It included a starter, an entree, and then also a dessert, and then also the reserved viewing of the parade.
I thought that the dessert we got pretty much matched the dessert we got at the Plaza Inn that we talked about last episode. And I thought that the version that we had at the Plaza Inn was better.
Yeah, it reminded me of the dessert that we had, I think, the previous year for the dining package. I was a little disappointed that it wasn't something fun and new and exciting because so this is the fourth time that I've done the dining package for Oogie Boogie Bash. And every other year, except for this year, it was some fancy new fun. Every year the dessert was, they had fun with it and they got creative with it. This is the first year I felt like it was a little bit more of a repeat, but overall, great experience. Now that the price has raised up, though, I don't know if I feel like it's worth it, because in years past, I want to say it was maybe $50 or $55.
Well, and we don't use the Fast Pass to get into the parade viewing spot, because we actually prefer a different spot that we were able to get fairly easily. So at that point, we were, we finished dining, and then we decided to go try to figure out what else was kind of around before all of the trails and everything opened, because everything started at 6. So we walked over and we found the Hocus Pocus, Sanderson Sisters, special like photo op area. Now, it doesn't have the Sanderson sisters at it, but it is the area that has a cauldron. It's got the so vacuum fun. Cleaner and the mop and the broom and everything. It looks like it's part of the museum. It was real fun. We walked by just to get a shot of that.
Right after dinner, I wanted to make sure, because one thing that I always forget about with, well, with a lot of things, is that with our level of magic key, photo passes included, and with these special ticketed events, photo pass is included for everyone. I always want to try and make a point to use photo pass and get those really nice higher quality photos from the Disney photographers. But for some reason, I get distracted. We nobody knows why, because we're in a Disney park and there's just so many amazing things happening all at once. But I always regret not getting more photo pass photos. So I said to Tay, I said, we're going to stop and we're getting our photo done now because we're here. So we did. So we stopped and got our photo. Tag took his jacket out of his backpack. That was the one time that Tag wore his jacket. But
we had a fun photo pass photographer too, by the way.
Super fun. We should have gotten his name.
He was teasing us because this happens frequently with us with photo pass photographers, especially when we're just on a trip by ourselves. They think we're in together. A relationship together. Yeah. And so he's like, now hug each other. And we're like, oh, we're not together. He's like, I don't care. You're supposed to look scared with each other.
And then he said something like, geez, I'm glad I'm not your friend. You wouldn't be comforting me when there's some scary thing behind me. I can't remember. He was a hoot.
Yeah, he was very like he seemed kind of intimidating. But once you realized he was just joking around with you, then it was like, oh, okay, I get this.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Because he was like that with the group in front of us, too, that was getting kind of like, he's like, put your bag down. Like he was just messing with everybody.
He was a lot of fun. While we waited in line, Five and Dime were performing. And I don't know if I've ever paid attention to...
This is funny.
Oh, I wasn't going to tell everyone that story. But I've never paid that close of attention, but they have a different set for Halloween, much like the Dapper Dans do. So I got all excited because they started doing... I think it was Grim Grinning Ghosts. Mm-hmm. And so I went over there. I'm like, dang, I want to go like take a picture, get a video or something. So I get like 4 or 5 steps away... I thought they had just started the song. I get like 4 or 5 steps away from Tag, and then they stop playing. And so I turn around, I'm like, well, okay. And so I start walking back to Tag, and then they started playing up again. It was just like a dramatic pause in the middle of the song. So I was like, oh, okay. So I ran over.
She was coming back, and I was like, after all that. And then it did it again, and she turned around and went back. I'm like, well,
I gotta hurry.
I was like, can we just make up our minds what's happening here?
It was fun.
After we got our photo taken at the front, we made our way back because we want to start our method to attacking Oogie Boogie Bash is to start at the back of the park and work your way forward because everybody's coming in. They're hitting up all the stuff by the front. So we start back with Sid and all that. So on our way back before the party started, we stopped by the Sanderson sisters booth that was there that was set up to look at it.
Yeah, because I took video. I was actually chatting with a weekly tier earlier that day that we met at the Disneyana event because I have been so curious as to what this is. It's been on the map. Everybody knew that it was there. Nowhere. Nowhere have I found anyone that's posted photos of what it is or any sort of video. Nothing. There's been no quote unquote coverage. I've watched like Ordinary Adventures appeared that they had watched the parade directly across from where this was set up. So I was hoping to even catch a glimpse of it. No, didn't catch a glimpse. Have not seen. We follow all sorts of social media. Nothing. So I was like, I have been so, so curious about this space. So we probably spent more time in this little photo op area than a normal person.
And you posted this. Like, so it's documented on the internet, right?
I don't think I have posted it yet because I think I'm making a reel of it. I will do that this week.
Halloween's going to be over by the time you get this out there.
I will do that this week so you all know because we got very, I will be honest, I got very distracted during the Oogie Boogie Bash, so I did not post as frequently and as often as I had originally planned. But
that's okay.
I did take all sorts of photos and videos. We did get our photos eventually taken at this photo location too. So we will share all that in case anybody else has been as curious about this as I have been. But so it's cool.
We swung quickly through the Plaza de la Familia where they had some different things going for Coco over there. And they had like this beautiful display of, I don't even know how you pronounce this.
The queer to me.
Yeah. It just had a bunch of different things to remember all the people that had passed in Coco and stuff, which was really pretty. And then we made our way over to Sid And we got a pretty decent spot towards the beginning of the line. And I'll tell you, I'm glad we did, because when we left the line, this thing had gone way down and circled back and done all this craziness.
The other thing that was a first was we've always started with Sid, but we've always been further back in the line. Mm-hmm. We were basically...
We were just a couple switchbacks back,
But yeah, we could see...
We were right in front of Bing Bongs.
Yeah, we were right in front of Bing Bongs, and we had a perfect shot of the stage. I didn't realize that there was kind of a fun little, I guess I'll call it a little skit that happens when he comes out. So when Sid first came out, he introduced everybody to his Sid Show Circus and went through and was kind of explaining his different toys and like kind of had this little introduction thing before then they started the trick-or-treat trail, which I thought that was really fun. So now I'm kind of like, well, now I want to see what the other, like, what's Mim's little entrance speech and what's,
you know, can only do one per party.
You can only do one per party, but now I'm kind of thinking, well, what are all the other entrance ones? We caught Ernesto last year because he was taking a siesta. He was on break when we went through his line. So we hung out for a while because we waited for him to come back. So we kind of saw what his little entrance was. But yeah, now I'm kind of curious what all the entrances are.
I was a little disappointed with Sid because, first of all, wasn't the normal Sid that we're used to seeing,
Yeah, the same cast member that we see each, that we have seen each time.
So I thought for sure, Teresa has this wonderful costume. So I start rolling and we walk past him and he spends a lot of time. There was a family in front of us that he was spending a lot of time kind of talking about. I think the girl was dressed up from the video I have here as Stitch. And so he was kind of giving her a hard time. And then Teresa got, I don't know, almost to the end. Maybe he had a quarter of passing in front of him.
I thought I was safe from...
In this video, is staring Teresa down. And he kind of walked to the side of the stage. And you could tell, like, he was trying to come up with something to say.
Yeah.
But then... We had moved too fast, and he was like, all right, moving on to the next person. But you can see the wheels turning in our video that he's like, oh, and then he's like, all right, I'm going to go talk to the next person. So
yeah, so we were marked safe from the Sid. I don't even know what you want to call it.
And one of the things that people had reported on this year is that they were being kind of stingier with the candy. The very first treat trail we went through, Teresa's bag was like a third of the way full. Yeah. So they weren't being that stingy. I will say we are used to, I thought this year we had more not chocolate options. Not, I wouldn't say healthier options, but I would just say
there were a lot of carrots and a lot of apples.
And goldfish.
Oh yes. And sun chips. So many sun chips.
So many sun chips. I started walking past the people with sun chips because I don't need more.
We may have been noticing this more because we were getting on a plane the next day. And so things like apples and carrots something that we wanted. I'm not even sure if we could have taken those on the plane, but we wanted to make sure that we also didn't think they'd pack well. Same thing, I was getting concerned with the sun chips. I'm like, well, I don't want just like chip dust by the time we get home. So... lot, but I mean, I like the variety. I think that's really fun. Yeah. I wish we would have gotten more. They also had the little applesauce packs, and I think that those are so fun.
Those are really good. I remember last time we were at Oogie Boogie Bash, like later that night, we just wanted something kind of cold, and those packs were really good for that. And then the next morning, it's a good kind of like breakfast thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We walked over because I just wanted to take a quick look at Lotso. He was super cool. We didn't get a ton of stuff with him. When we walked up, somebody had a little stuffed Lotso, and he seemed to really enjoy the fact that somebody brought a little Lotso for him, and that was really great. Then we went and took our pictures with the Sanderson Sisters area there.
Yeah, the thing
which took a while.
There were two groups of Sanderson sisters in front of us in the line. So I think I would love to have seen what their photos turned out.
Me too. But the way that where you waited line, you're kind of like behind it, so you don't get to see it. Also, I never noticed that they did this with PhotoPass people, but when the light changes, the PhotoPass photographer does some settings and stuff in their camera, and they had like a little cheat sheet, and I had never seen that before, so I just wanted to point
that out. That was kind of cool, because she had to change the settings before she took our photo, so we were standing in front of the photo op ready to go, but since she's like, do you guys mind if I quick... oh, no, of course we don't mind. So I took that opportunity to just really... because now we're right up against the photo set, or the set piece, so I took that chance to kind of really... get a good look at all the fun details.
The lighting was cooler.
They had the black flame candle was part of it. Of course, there was the big cauldron. There was a spell book in the back that had the life potion, the broom, mop, and vacuumer there. And Thackeray Binks was even peeking out from around the corner. I thought it was a really detailed and really fun photo op that they put together.
And right next to this photo op is a treat trail that we quickly went through and picked up some candy right across from Ariel's Undersea Adventure. Then we made our way through, we kind of cut through San Francisco Square and we went over to Cars Land because I wanted to see the cool coloring.
No, that was the end of Yokai's line.
Oh, that's true.
That's why we ended up back there. But it wasn't quite parade time, so we decided to go check out and meet Yokai. And yeah, he was a very popular villain and very popular treat trail. So we ended up back darn nearby, we were across from the Flo's outdoor eating section.
Yeah.
And just had the beautiful backdrop of Cadillac Range, which was great because
the lighting
is amazing and it's extra fun and spooky during the Halloween season too. So waiting in line to go see him. I'm going to say it. I was not impressed. I've been way more excited by other villain additions that they've had, but he wasn't as fun. And he was very serious, and actually, the entire time that we were switchbacking and in the treat trail itself, picking up candy, he was just standing on the stage kind of staring off. There was a couple of lines, I don't know if they were pre-recorded or if it was actually the cast member saying it, but they were kind of generic lines to the character. It just wasn't as interactive as what the other villains.
He was definitely my least favorite character that we saw.
I will say the set piece thing that they pull is very cool. I really liked the almost like curtains of microbots that were clinging to the side of the stage and then on the top of the stage too. So yeah, he was probably my least favorite part of the evening.
So we went across, and one of the spots that we really like is kind of anywhere kind of along that area next to the walkway that goes through like the old San Francisco area towards Grizzly River Run. And so if you're looking at Paradise Bay and you go to the right in front of Ariel's Undersea Adventure or to the left kind of a little bit along that area in front of the shops there, and that's kind of where we like to sit. So we sat there, got some good spots. We ate some of our apples and chips and everything while we were waiting. I actually ended up leaving my bag here, my plastic treat bag. And luckily, I could go back to where we entered by the Grand California and they were able to get me another one. But try not to forget that stuff.
One other fun thing that we did, just because we're crazy people that get the dining package that comes with the reserve viewing, but we have our own spots that we like better than the reserve viewing, is we decided to make some magic for two people.
It is hard to find two people.
It was a little difficult to find two people because we only had two tickets for people to get into the reserved area. But while we were sitting and waiting for our spot, we got to the parade probably 25 minutes before the parade started and were able to secure a front row seat, if you will. But quickly after that, it started filling in and we actually saw this younger couple that were kind of looking like maybe this was their first Oogie Boogie Bash, or they kind of looked a little overwhelmed.
Just as Mickey and Minnie.
Yeah. Looked a little overwhelmed and didn't quite know what to do. So we went over and gifted them our reserve tickets, and I held down the spots while Tag actually went over and gifted them the tickets. But they seemed to be very, very surprised and grateful and so thankful for it. So I wish we would have bumped into them later to check in and see what they thought of the parade. That would have been so fun.
They looked like this might have been their first Oogie Boogie Bash, and they looked very kind of overwhelmed of what should they be doing.
It is very overwhelming. I'm thinking back to my first Oogie Boogie Bash to this most recent one. If you would have told the 2019 version of Teresa that Oogie Boogie Bashed that you were going to, in a few years, you're going to have extra time at the end of the night, I would have thought you were crazy. Because
if you would have told me that at the beginning of the night that we were there, I would have told you were crazy.
I remember that first night. It's very overwhelming. You're trying to figure out who's where, what's what. And you're like, oh, man. You know, you feel like it's this huge, and you're just running around and, trying to catch all this stuff. So I felt very accomplished at that first night. We didn't do no photos. It was only treat trails that we did. And we got through it all. That also was the World of Color show and the parade. So there was
up a little more time.
There was one more nighttime entertainment offering. But we got everything done and had just enough time to then get ourselves to the front to get out, kind of a thing. And last year, I thought we were really fortunate that we had enough time to do Villains Grove twice. And now this year was even more time. So yeah, it's wild, but it is, it's very overwhelming, especially if it's your first time doing it, because there's so many cool things to see and you just don't want to miss out.
Of course, we watched the parade. Amazing as always. Teresa was very happy because she got to enjoy the parade because I recorded a bunch of the video for this one. So, and I was really happy because I had my phone had arrived, my newer phone, and so I was able to do that. And Teresa hopefully will get a new phone soon because she kept ogling over other people's
pictures. I don't remember if we shared this last week or not.
Yeah.
We had watched the fireworks, and there was a girl in front of me that was taking video of the fireworks and taking photos of the fireworks, and I was distracted by her phone, not because it was in my viewing area or like right in front of my face. I was distracted because of the quality of it. So at the end of the show, I actually tapped her on the shoulder and I said, "Hi, this is going to sound really weird. What kind of a phone is that? Because the video and photo that thing was capturing was amazing." Yeah. So yeah, it was, what was it? An iPhone 14 Pro. Mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah. Anyways, I was just like, I had phone envy. It was so cool.
So when the parade ended, one of the great things about the space we pick is we can then make a quick exit back towards Grizzly Peak.
That's intentional. Yep.
And so I think, did we stop like at the restroom quick there and then head over? No.
We did not stop at the restroom first. We just went, as soon as the parade went past us, we followed the parade to then get to the little walkway to take us back into the Grizzly area and got in line for Villains Grove.
We originally were going to go see Judge Doom, but then we're like, oh, there's no real line for Villains Grove. Because we usually say Villains Grove to the end, because as long as you're in the line, you can go experience it. Yeah. We want to get through the characters. So we were like, there's hardly any line. Let's just pop into
this. This was insane. Like,
it took no time to get into
it. I've never seen the line this short.
And move this
And
quick.
I actually paid attention to like when we got in line versus when we actually walked into the space. It was just under 5 minutes.
Yeah.
From the time we got in line to the time we entered Villains Grove.
Mm-hmm.
Miracle. I don't know. Like perfect. That you could not have asked for more perfect timing. That right there may have made or breaked. That may have been the make or break for why we had extra time, because we really did not have to spend much time in that line.
And I will still say that I think one of the highlights of the entire Oogie Boogie Bash is the Villains Grove.
Oh, yeah.
And I took some photos. My camera that I have was a little bit better than what I had before. It's still, I firmly believe that if you've seen YouTube videos but never have experienced this in person, it still does not compare. There is something about the visuals that really only works with a human eyeball.
Yeah. The thing that I really like to let people know, and I reminded this of Tag, not last year, the year before, last year, is for some reason, the first time or maybe two times I went through, I felt rushed. Like for some reason, I felt like it was a treat line. And as people like that, I had to keep up with the person in front of me and like go through. No, that's not true whatsoever. You could hang out in Villains Grove all night if you chose to. They monitor how many people go in with how many people are coming out. So it doesn't matter when you get out. They just don't let more. They just have only so many people back in the experience at once. So it's not like you're holding up the line, you know, nothing like that. So take your time to really immerse yourself in it. There's little scenes at each of the villains' kind of stations, I guess we'll call it, that kind of come to life and transform. Don't just run past those things. Hang out, watch those transformations, or maybe if you only caught part of it, hang out and watch.
And they only take a minute for the cycle.
Yeah, it's not a very long cycle, so it's not like you're gonna, if you take your time, it's not like you're gonna be back there for 30 minutes or anything like that. It still can be a quote unquote quick thing. You're not gonna, again, it's not gonna take tons and tons of time, but please make sure you take your time to really enjoy all the details. There are specific smells in different areas that they've added. Of course, the lighting and then fun little special effects. So make sure you take your time.
It is definitely one of the most breathtaking things that Disney has done that you can kind of walk through and experience.
You feel like when you walk out of it, you just feel different.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to describe it, but you're just like, oh, like what was that? Like
the creative team that came up with this.
Yeah, you just feel like you had been transported somewhere and then brought back to reality, and you're just like, what just happened? It's amazing.
And if you've been to that area of the park during the day, it feels so different.
Oh, I get, like, I don't understand, like, when I look at, I've only really experienced that area as Villains Grove. That's how I'm most familiar with it. When I look at photos of what some of these things look like normally, it doesn't compute in my brain. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's what the quote unquote like heaven tunnel is, the one that everybody's like, it's like you're going into the light. Like, don't go to the light. You know, like mm-hmm. the one that's super foggy and has all the cool lights. It's amazing
what fog and lighting
does.
Yeah,
what it looks like normally. I'm like, that's it. Like,
yeah,
it just seems so different. Well, after we went through and had our experience in Villains Grove, we had to go check out Judge Doom. But before we did, we stopped on over to say hello to Mother Gothel. She's always so fun. She's just feisty.
Yeah, I think the problem that I had with Mother Gothel this time was she was the friend of Mother Gothel was a little younger than I think.
She just had taken in some of the magical healing powers from the flower tag, that's all.
Yeah, yeah. It was okay, but yeah.
She's fun. I think she's a fun villain.
Yeah, that Judge Doom.
Not like my favorite. Like, if I were in charge of Oogie Boogie Bash, maybe I would retire Yokai and Mother Gothel.
Sure.
And maybe I'd bring Cruella, back
Maleficent.
And
Maleficent
maybe Cruella
was cool.
Just because Cruella's been there
yeah.
the entire time. Nothing against Cruella. Yeah. I don't think you can retire Oogie Boogie. He's been there since day one, but it's his party.
Bash. Yeah.
So I don't think you can retire him. But anyways, then, yep, on to Judge Doom. This was a shock and a surprise to me. I was excited about this because of what we had seen on social media and YouTube.
One totally unrelated thing that Teresa's going to be like, I don't know why you're talking about this on the podcast. I thought it was interesting that the cast members working this treat line were like the high schoolers.
They were. I've never encountered such young cast members,
yeah,
but they were very young.
Yeah, it's like they brought them in from the high school or something. It was very weird. But this area, I'll let you talk about this area. I really enjoyed it.
This area,
we timed it well, too.
We timed it perfectly. It just so happened as we were walking up, he was kind of going into a spiel about how he hated tunes and whatnot. So he was building up to showing off the dip. And I think I was even the one that he's like, what do you think we do about tunes? And I'm like, show. He's like, what do you think this is? I'm like, show us. And he's like, I will. We'll have to rewatch the video, but I think I may have been the one to give him the correct answer to get him to do it. But
one of the
so
neat
fun.
Effects here is, first of all, when he dips it, it's like the dip overflows out of the thing, which is super cool. But also, there's drums and like little things along the path back mm-hmm. to him, and then when you're exiting, they had the cool effect with these lasers, maybe, that made it look like the bins were full of dip, but
and
it was
bubbling.
Just a lighting effect.
It was just lighting with
fog. It was
fog
so cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. This was probably the most, aside from Oogie Boogie, because you're walking into the Animation Academy, so you're just surrounded by images and theming. But as far as treat trails go, his was the most themed.
Yeah, I think
by
so.
Far, because not only did you have the theming of, you know, the stage that he was on, which was wild. There was like this car machine thing. There was this big brick wall backdrop thing. Giant neon sign. But like Tag mentioned, as you walked into the space and as you walked out of the space, they kept the theming going with all of these big vats of like
dip.
Well, yeah, it was like, or like it was the ingredients for the dip. But yeah, it was super cool. Super, super cool.
Yeah, it was really neat. After that, we went back to the Carthay Circle area because we were on our way to go over and see Madame Mim, who has moved this year. She's in that kind of, you describe it better. What is that little like space over
there? It's kind of a little like plaza, and it's past Carthay Circle, but before you get to Avengers Campus. So kind of across from where the waterfall is.
Yeah. And so we went there to see Madame Mim, and what, she took a break, like, as we got
there.
She did.
She went to take a break just as we got up to the stage. What was she doing? She was checking her witch's brew, and she thanked, quote-unquote, Compost, which was the nickname she gave the cast member that was kind of helping. So Compost was supposed to fill in for her while she was checking on her witch's brew. He was supposed to do a song and a dance for us. He did not.
Let's see if I can have this, and hopefully it shows up in the microphone.
I'm going to go check on my witch's brew. I'll be back in a moment. Can you do something of note, please? Entertain the people. Dance for them. This is Compost, everyone. He's going to dance for you. Here we go.
With your brew.
Thank you, my dear.
Spoiler alert, he did not dance for
No
us.
Dancing.
So what did you think of Madam Mim?
Oh, just super fun as always, even though we missed her. Which, the thing that was nice...
We didn't all fully miss her.
Yeah,
she was there.
Yeah, we didn't fully miss her. We just didn't get to greet her on like as we approached the stage. But the thing that was great about Mim was her location, because it was such a perfect location to be able to go through her treat trail multiple times throughout the evening. It wasn't like Sid. You can only really do Sid once, because he's...
So far back.
So far out of the way. Whereas Mim's right there, right next to the entrance. So perfect. After Mim, we headed on over to Avengers Campus and said hello to Miss Agatha. She had this tiny super fan that was there when we went up
to
her
tree. She was amazing.
She was so excited, thought Agatha was the best of the best. When Agatha asked if anybody had seen Wanda, this girl was just like, I did. She was so happy to be able to write intel to Agatha. It was so
And she gave lots
so
of details.
Cute. Tons mm-hmm. of details. Like, yeah, it was adorable. She, like, you could tell that this child genuinely thought she was talking with the character. I just thought it was really, really fun. I mean, we didn't get to interact with her directly, but I think watching that interaction was like a million times better, because that little one so believed that she was talking to Agatha and that she was helping her. It was very adorable.
Then we went over by Mission Breakout, and back in that area, over by the Hyperion, was, of course, Ernesto de la Cruz. So we went over there to catch him.
Perfect
the
spot for
The only
him.
Downside with this was we got there at a bad time, because a bunch of the little treat trail handout things had run out.
Yeah. He had just finished his concert, though, so I think he had quite a few people hanging out and waiting for mm-hmm. the concert. So then they went through the treat trails, and yeah, all of the exit treat, the ones that when we went into the space were full and had candy, but as we exited the space, I think it was three of them were out. That was a first. I've never experienced that before, but it was kind of funny.
I'm still at awe with this
setup
appearance
here
of him.
Is perfect.
It is.
The swap of having, because Mim was greeting in this location last year, but having Ernesto in this space and Mim in the smaller, more intimate space is perfect for both of those characters. I think that was a really, really smart move
yeah.
on your part.
And it went so much smoother. Ernesto, you could feel like there was a lot of people watching him, but it didn't feel
like that.
Yeah,
it didn't
feel
like it. And it was, his stage was just so big and so grand, which just made a lot of sense for the character. Plus, even if you weren't in the treat trail, if you were just on the street leading up, you could still see him, you could hear him. And like the trees in that space framed him perfectly.
Yes.
It was great. It was really, really
They knocked that one out of the park for sure.
They did. So we were trying to get the last two villain treat trails done before the second parade, or the final parade of the evening, came through. So we quickly went over into Hollywoodland and said hello to Miss Cruella. Fabulous as always. She's so much fun. It was cute. There was a little girl dressed as Cruella. And so she was, you know, oh, do we share a name? And they quote unquote walked the catwalk together, and it was a really cute and really fun interaction as well. And then of course the main man, Oogie Boogie. Can't go to Oogie Boogie's bash without paying your respects and saying hello to the big green bug filled.
You did skip one thing. For
dude.
Once you skipped something.
I did.
So after Cruella, we walked over and got kind of the side view of the Sanderson sisters before we went
right.
and saw Oogie Boogie, because we didn't want to wait. That we went to get the line, and they said it was like, what, 45 minutes or mm-hmm. something? And we're like, yeah, we're not going to do that. We got pictures last year.
Yep.
So I took a couple photos. Unfortunately, the photo pass photographer was kind of in the way, but whatever. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
But it was a cool area. If you want to walk up and see the characters and don't necessarily need a photo with them, you can kind of walk up to that area over in the Hollywood Pictures back lot and see them.
You can see them, yep.
And that's totally fine. There's a little rope thing that you can't go past, but you mm-hmm. can still see them.
Yep. It's very fun.
And then we saw Oogie Boogie, of course, which I actually enjoyed him more this year than last year, because I felt like he was a little more interactive this year. And they weren't whisking you through as fast
that's
as last
true.
Year. Last year was like, keep moving, keep moving, keep mm-hmm. moving. So that was really nice. Then we went.
Then that was when we realized we had done all the things and we had seen all the things. But we noticed, or we realized that the parade was coming by again soon. So we found a spot, lucked totally out with this. We were able to find a spot in front of Carthay Circle on the fountain. So we actually were able to have an elevated seat to enjoy the second viewing of the parade. We watched it all the way through. Mm-hmm. Tag was very excited because he was helping me out and taking photos and videos of the first one. So this time both of us had our phones put away and just purely enjoyed the parade. I will say, if it were, this might be a contender for one of the best places. I really enjoyed where we viewed it from the last couple of years, but watching it from the little plaza there, the parade comes down straight at you and it gets pretty close to you when it's coming straight at you before it
turns. Why do you, Teresa loves the parade coming straight at you?
I do. Because then I get more time to look at all the details of like the costumes or the floats themselves. And like, it was great for Jack and Sally because most of what you see when Jack and Sally goes past you is just right the sides of the float. Well, their float almost is designed to look at straight on more so. So that was that one I really noticed a difference with. That one was really, really
now,
cool.
Something
I really enjoyed
else
it.
That we miscalculated with this parade is most Disney parades, you know, if we think about Disneyland, most parades start at It's a Small World, they come to Town Square, they end behind Main Street. The second parade starts behind Main Street and goes back to It's a Small World.
The other way.
We thought the same thing was going to be at DCA with this Halloween parade, that it was going to start back over by Pixar Pier and it was going to come along past, you know, Mermaid and all of that, past Avengers Campus, through Carthay Circle and down through Hollywoodland.
Yep, for the first
parade.
And
then on the way back would come back that way.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? It goes the same way both times.
Yeah, we thought we were being smart. We're like, ooh, we're catching the parade from basically the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Both times. No. But they, I think they started a little early because the Headless Horseman
got to
us much quicker than he did when we were towards the start of the parade.
I was glad we got to see the parade twice because we only get to see it once a year. And it's a great parade.
It's a really great parade. It's hard for me to determine favorites of anything. But this one's especially hard because the Haunted Mansion unit and the Nightmare Before Christmas units are both so, so well done. And they're both some of my favorite things ever. And then the rest of it's all villains, which I love the villains. So I can't knock the villains. If anything, I want more from the villains. But
we need a villains part.
Man, the ballroom dancers are just fantastic.
The grave diggers.
They do need newer shovels because they're not sparking as well.
The Headless Horseman in the beginning is awesome.
The Headless Horseman and Ichabod in the beginning to kind of kick the whole thing off.
Great.
It's just a fantastic, fantastic parade.
Yeah.
So what did we do with our extra hour of time, you may ask? Well,
We went to look for Mim again.
Yep. We, of course, I think that's how we ended the night, was with Mim. But we decided to spend some time...
Nope, it was Mim, and then we went to Cars Land.
Oh, that's right, because we did go see Mim a second time and just didn't grab candy.
Correct.
A third time, I think. Or did we not grab candy here?
I don't remember.
Anyways, we went, after the parade was done, we went and said hello to Mim, since she was back from checking on her witch's brew. She was so fun and fabulous.
Yeah, got a picture of you.
Got a picture with her, and we chatted with her for a little while. Then we decided to go back to Cars Land, because Cars Land is just amazing. Amazing at
more
night.
More theming in one land than anywhere else.
Yeah, it's amazing at night, but the level of decor that they put in for Halloween is just incredible. The details, all of that. So we decided to end our night back there and just really soak in all of that, which was great because we felt like we had the place to ourselves. There really weren't that many other guests back in Cars Land at that time. And as a bonus, all of the cars were out in their Halloween costume. So we got to see Mater, Lightning McQueen, I don't remember what the name of the other one is that meets and greets. The fire truck was out in his clown costume. And if you're someone that's a big fan of Cars and of all of these characters, or you have someone in your family that's a big fan, go at the end of the night. They had photo pass photographers with each of these characters. No lines.
Yeah.
And if there was a line, it was like one or two people in front of you kind of a situation. It was perfect. It would have been a great time to knock out a bunch of character photos with these.
But even though we did all of this, I don't feel like we were rushing.
No,
we
kind
of were just taking our time going around and we still got everything in.
I don't know if it was a good plan of attack. I think what happened was we had a good plan of attack, but we also had amazing timing with things, because the fact that we just so happened to walk into Judge Doom's area as he was starting his performance, we'll call it, with when he shows off the dip, like that was perfect timing. Same thing with as we were walking into the Ernesto de la Cruz area, he was doing his performance. So we weren't right in front of the stage for it, but we were walking up through the treat trail as he was going through. So we got to experience all of the like really cool highlight interactions with characters just by dumb luck of timing. We didn't have to sit around and wait or come back to check it out again. Mim was easy because, yes, she did take a break, but with where her location was, it was very easy to stop by and see her again. In fact, I was saying to Tag, I think we actually stopped by and just kind of visited her a third time. We didn't go fully through because we did not need any more candy and treats and things to try and figure out how to pack
and
that night.
Chips.
But we wanted to at least go see her again. So that was really, really cool and really special. Yeah. And then as you exit, there was, what, four bins as we exited that they were handing out?
On Buena Vista Street.
Yep. That they were handing out full-size bags of brownie M&Ms.
You know what? I still haven't had one of those, but everybody that I know that's tried them thought they were amazing.
They also had cold brew M&Ms, which I was really excited about. And then I
gave you mine because I was like, nope.
We dumped our bags out when we got to the hotel, like the small children we are, to take a look and see what our haul was. And somehow I only got one bag of cold brew M&Ms and Tag got three. So we did some trading.
What did we trade?
I gave you, I think, Milky Ways.
Okay.
I think I gave you Milky Ways for your cold brew.
Yeah,
because
I like the Milky Ways and stuff. Yeah. So overall, great Oogie Boogie Bash experience.
Fantastic.
I think next year we'll skip the dining package. We'll do something else, or we'll get a different dining package or something. And I mean, if we go next year.
Or even then, maybe do reservations at Lamplight or something like that instead.
And then, you know, I think we have a working formula. Start at the back. By the time we get to where the parade route kind of is, it's about
parade
time.
Yeah, so basically you want to finish the back half of the park before that first parade.
Yeah.
If you decide to watch that first parade, watch somewhere that you can easily get out of the parade route space. So we always kind of sit near that pathway by Little Mermaid to get us back towards Villains Grove. But if you sit somewhere, like if you sit down by, well, like Wine Country Trattoria, for example, you can't as easily get back to Villains Grove from that area as you can if you're down by like Carthay Circle or up by the Little Mermaid, those sort of things. Just kind of keep those things in mind as you're going through and doing your Oogie Boogie Bash.
Looks like we're coming in for a landing, gang. But please stay listening until trivia comes to a stop. And then yous can walk to the nearest exit. Thanks for listening to the 8th Wonder of the World, DL Weekly.
Ooh, spooky conversation. Good thing there's no Oogie Boogie Bash in Trivia Land for those who are a little scared.
Yeah, because it's too disappointing of a land, James.
Oh.
You need a new e-ticket attraction.
Oh, we do.
Them's fighting words.
Ooh, can we put that in the constitutional amendment we're drafting?
Oh, my goodness. You know what would be a fun exercise for our listeners? We should have them submit drawings of what they think Trivia Land looks like.
Oh, boy.
Ooh, yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Confusing.
I mean,
that's what it looks like.
Maybe they could give us descriptions of the attractions as well.
Ooh, look at that.
You know what would fit really well is like the Fantasyland Royal Theater.
There you go.
Their humor is right in on top.
Yeah, oh,
that's true.
Mm-hmm.
So, just saying.
You and Vern on that show, that'd be wonderful.
If only I had actual singing talent anymore. But anyway, questions, trivia questions. That's why we're here. Our first question this week was, what attraction in the resort would the hint Usu Mate direct someone's towards? And the answer is Grizzly River Run.
Oh.
According to early folklore, Grizzly Peak was once a giant bear named Usu Mate, who Ahale the coyote transformed into a stone to watch over and protect the mountain.
I think this is a piece of trivia that I have never heard before.
No, I don't think I've heard it either. I knew that there were like spirits with that attraction, and I was thinking that those names, I'm like, maybe when you said something about the hint that someone else was interacting, I'm like, oh, maybe that's one of the tiki god names.
You fell into my trap. Yeah. It was perfect.
Well, what's interesting is, like, a lot of times with trivia, when you tell us an answer, we have that moment of like, oh, duh, why didn't we pick that?
No,
but this was totally
this
like,
that was new information.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just knew that there were like spirits and that it was like, I don't know.
Well, it has to be that way, because when you're on Grizzly River Run and you're going through the caves, there is like that woo kind of, yeah.
I didn't realize that the bear was a real, I thought it was just Grizzly Peak because it looked like a grizzly. I didn't think it was because it was a grizzly that was turned into stone.
Well, thanks for enlightening us, James.
Yeah, that's what we're here to do at Trivia Land, teach people things. Last week, we tell you how to get a high score in Buzz Lightyear Astro Blasters.
We got so much feedback about that, too, by the way.
Good. Good. As we should.
People posting pictures of the specific spot for Zurg.
Let's get that 50,000 points. Question number two. What is the name of Hondo Onaka's transport company, which is featured prominently in the Q and storyline of Smuggler's Run? The answer for that one, you gave correctly. Onaka Transport Solutions.
Good job.
Good job, Tang.
Even appreciate the accent that you gave with it as well.
It wasn't great, but it was there.
The attempt.
You're trying, and it's good. Question three, what is the name of the skipper leading the expedition on the Jungle Cruise that's being run up the pole? You correctly gave me Skipper Felix. And his last
now
name for
I
the
need
curious
to know, yeah.
Is Peckman the 13th.
Felix that's fun. Peckman the 13th?
Yes. Peckman with an H, not a K.
That is fun.
On the spelling, so.
Oh, K. Interesting.
Yeah.
The Imagineers really did their due diligence on creating a backstory for that one.
There is so much lore for the Jungle Cruise. It is wild. Trying to figure out things that I can actually ask you that you might have a chance to get. It's not going well.
Sounds true. So like we need to do a deep dive on the Jungle Cruise.
Oh, I mean, just look at the queue now. There's all sorts of like stories woven into the queue with the refresh that they did.
Yeah, it's
recently,
pretty phenomenal. And the last question, true or false, the first person known to be cryogenically frozen or suspended happened before Walt died.
Hey, guess what? One of us got this right.
Yeah. Any bets on who got it right?
Probably Teresa.
It's probably Teresa. That is absolutely false. The first person cryogenically suspended happened about 2 months after Walt died. Oh. His name is James Bedford.
So you got that one right. Good job, Teresa.
So allegedly still suspended too.
Hmm.
Wow.
Well, we've never successfully brought somebody back, is my understanding.
I think that is true.
Yeah, we have the technology to freeze them, but we don't have the technology to thaw
them.
That's
that.
Yep. So hopefully eventually we get to say, welcome to the world of tomorrow. It's a Futurama reference for those not in the loop. I assume it's a lot of people. Well, that's okay. You know who is in the loop? People who send trivia questions to us. Because then they have great questions that we can try to stump TNT with. You can help Vern and I with our trivia bank. Our email is trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
And thank you to our editor, Sadell.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us. And we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.